RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Organics, conventional, pesticides, fertilizers, it's all so very confusing. Hey, we've got an incredible expert with us today. Ray Nielsen is with us. Ray literally grew up with this, I'm sure, not only in his genes, but on his genes. He comes from a farming family up in Michigan. He left to attend the University of Michigan, majored in agriculture there, returned to farming. And after a few short years, started to see maybe a little bit of the folly or dangers that he'll share with us in conventional versus organic. He became a big proponent of organic and also has developed a company, Circle One International, that's a leader in organic pesticides and fertilizers. He's sought all over the world as an expert in this area and quoted in the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and the list goes on and on. Ray, so glad to have you on the program today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. And I appreciate it. And you put on a great show and learn a lot. And so I'm going to start following your show often. And I do travel quite a bit around the world and learn a lot from traveling.
And we appreciate you spreading that word. You know, my approach is I call it the grassroots gourmet, and that's how we've grown through word of mouth. Certainly, you know, when you're not sort of associated with industrial mega companies, you don't get a lot of some of that advertising, you know, dollars rolling your way to get word out. And so we certainly appreciate that. But let's start at the beginning, right? Can you tell the folks, you know, what exactly is the difference between conventional and organic approaches to farming?
I sure will. And the name of the company is Green World Path, not Circle One, Green World Path. Okay. But I own three or four different companies. And I also go under Organic Ray quite a bit. They call me organicray@gmail.com. But anyway, yes, I grew up on a farm. My father actually farmed organic. I was young. I followed in his footsteps and beside him, you know, growing up, learned all about organic farming. I didn't know it was organic farming at the time. I thought it was natural thing to do. And he never used fertilizer, never used pesticides or anything. Grew beautiful crops. You could walk.
What kind of crops did he grow, Ray?
Oh.
What kind of crops did you raise on the farm?
Beans, wheat, oats, I guess some barley, all types of green crops and vegetables. So I got a pretty good start in my younger years, and I did go to Michigan State, not University of Michigan, because Michigan State's agricultural. Yeah,
we don't want to confuse those two for sure.
No, land grant. Then, as I got older, and just before I went in the Army, I bought 267 acres and hired a young man to kind of run it while I was in the Army. And back then, you didn't have a choice. You either had to join or get drafted. And I joined. And when I came back from the Army and finished with Michigan State, learned how to use chemicals, basically, and saw what it did to my first 267 acres. And then we bought another almost 2,000 acres more. We had one of the top herd of Holstein cows in the country, 1,000 head of cattle all together. And what I learned at Michigan State was using commercial fertilizer that was basically out of hydrocarbons and chemical fertilizer, I call it, and turned the soil from nice black soil to more like a gray. and had to keep using more and more fertilizer every year, and practically ruined the ground. So then I started studying organic, and in fact, I was one of the leaders in the forefront of bringing organics on and helped write the National Organic Bill that we got through Congress in 2002. And that's when I started my research on organics. And
Ray, when your dad was doing this, was there even a concept of organics? Was he doing it? Why wasn't he using the fertilizer to try to boost productivity? Was he doing it because that's the way he had been taught?
Well, this will give you a little bit of my age. but up until 19, I graduated from high school in 53. And up till 49, 50, 51... You know, about 1950, you couldn't purchase chemicals. They came on in about 49, and a lot of it was left over from the wars that they used to make pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and they were all hardcore chemicals that we've been eating all these years. And so we thought back then that farming was conventional, but they eventually changed organic without using chemicals to conventional, non-conventional farming, and then the chemicals became conventional farming.
That really is turning it upside down, isn't it? When you put it in that perspective.
So it was pretty easy to learn, because you don't really have to have a lot of education to read the directions and then spray your fields with herbicides or pesticides. And if it doesn't work, you just spray it again till it does work. But in organic farming, and I prefer to call it non-toxic farming, there's a large learning curve that you need to know how to grow without chemicals. So I teach.
So what are those tricks? So share with us for folks who may have a little backyard garden or are interested in learning more. What are some of those differences? Because organic farming, as you said, particularly when you're going to, you know, produce in an abundance where maybe you're selling some of your produce or your product, you still may need to use some sorts of fertilizers or certainly control the pests. So share with us a few, if you can, tips, tricks of the trade.
Okay, the tricks of the trade. Most people do not understand the word organic. In fact, the Department of Agriculture did not understand the word organic when we first started talking to them. But organic is...
Why is that not surprising?
natural occurring that's found in land and sea, and how it's processed has to be processed with approved products that are non-toxic, that you haven't altered in any way. And these products they have to be an all-natural source without any chemical derivatives in them to process them, and then it's constant inspection. But a lot of people think the word organic, they think of a compost, a manure pile, bib overalls, a pitchfork, but organic farming is very, very high tech, and the products have to be made from a natural source, like I mentioned, that found in land and sea, and processed properly. And it doesn't necessarily have to be from manure. And most of the products I make have no manure or compost in them. So it's all natural occurring. I push non-toxic farming more than organic, because if you were to put two cans on the shelf, one said organic and the other one said grown without any pesticides, herbicides, chemicals, people would understand what that meant. So we call it non-toxic farming. And
well, I think you bring up a really, really good point. Now, I know a lot of my chef friends, and I give them credit, you know, 10, 20 years ago for sourcing out local growers and suppliers who, you know, maybe couldn't afford to be involved in the rigmarole and the arduous nature of getting that organic, you know, stamp on their product. But we're raising it exactly as you said, you know, without a lot of the chemical pesticides, without a lot of the harsh chemical fertilizers, etc. And one of the benefits is that they could get that product, you know, a little bit more cheaply because the farmers didn't have to pass on the expense of that organic label. So for folks who are out there and looking at the local farmers markets, maybe local smaller farms or growers, producers, you know, if you understand what is meant, as you said, by this non-toxic farming, and you know you've sourced, you have reliable information that the stuff is grown this way, sometimes you can get that organic quality food without, you know, the organic price tag that comes with it.
Yeah. See, I call it on frequency, but the food that plants consume has to be from a natural source. Otherwise, they consume very little of it. And a lot of the fertilizers, which is NPK, that'd be nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, are made with acids and other materials and hydrocarbons, and they will have heavy metals in them. And a lot of that depletes the soil. The Academy, American Academy of Scientists and the World Academy of Scientists, probably close to 20 years ago, came out and said that the 30% of the best ground soil in the United States is no longer sustainable, and about a little more than that is non-sustainable worldwide due to indiscriminate use of chemicals. So these chemicals have an adverse effect on us. Just go ahead.
Oh, as I said, what is it? Why is that? Why is adding these things that are supposed to increase the bounty of what we reap and sow? How are they destroying the very ground, that the plants are planted in?
Well, for instance, potassium is potassium chloride. So potassium salts is what they put on the ground, which bleaches out the soil. The salts get caught up into the vascular system of the plant, just as they do in humans. The heavy metals that are in these commercial fertilizers will get caught in the vascular system, particularly in trees and even seasonal plants, and kind of plug the artery system of the plant, and they can't consume it and turn it into energy. So it has to be in a form of energy, not particularly fertilizer, so a form that they can utilize. And so potassium salts that you use on the roads to melt ice and so forth isn't a good diet to feed your plants. And it also kills the microflora, which is the bacteria in the soil. And now just end up with dirt instead of soil.
That is actually fascinating. So we're learning, you know, as a chef and as a cardiologist, we're just learning within the last really 5 years, certainly the last decade, about the importance of the gut microbiome for our health. But essentially, you're sort of telling me, if I'm understanding this correctly, that when we're adding these pesticides and fertilize these artificial constructs, just like the artificial foods are damaging our bacteria, we're damaging the natural sort of gut microbiome, the symbiotic bacteria that help our plants grow and maintain that natural balance. Am I hearing that right?
You're hearing it right. It's, you can almost think of humans. You know, we all want to have it all prepared so we can put it in the microwave or something and eat it. But it's not real food anymore. It's almost like reprocessed food. But
Well, it is. Yeah, you are spot on. You know, and I don't think you can achieve, you know, your destiny as a real, authentic human being when you're trying to power yourself with synthetic food. You know,
no,
and this is really enlightening to me here.
Yeah. Well, you know how important minerals, micronutrients, minerals particularly, are important to the human body. And in the soil that's been demineralized due to indiscriminate use of chemicals, now the food we buy has very low mineral content because there's hardly any left in the soil. And if it's not applied correctly with the right pH and the right manner, the micronutrients are not available to the plant. Organically, they're available, but the micronutrients make taste, shelf life, health to the plant, health to the people that eat them. And if these minerals will make the tomato taste better, the strawberry taste sweeter.
What you're describing is exactly what the French talk about. And the uniqueness of each vineyard, even though it's the same grape, is that essence of terroir, that bit of the earth of which it is grown, and, you know, the unique to that area. So, right, let me ask you, where are we headed in the next 10 to 20 years in the farming industry?
The farming industry, the organic, non-toxic farming is growing very, very rapidly. We're going to see a lot more micronutrients, we're going to see a lot more biologicals that are naturally occurring in the soil, which have now been depleted and almost all gone due to the pesticides, herbicides, and salt fertilizers that just kill the microflora.
So how do they get that back? How do farmers get that back?
Well, if you quit using chemical fertilizer, salt-based fertilizer, pesticides, chemical pesticides, they will come back naturally. But now we're beginning to put more and more natural occurring biologicals into our products and planting them in the soil so that we have them available. And these biologicals really release the nutrients and make them available for the plant uptake, whether it's in the soil or applied by foliar spraying. And so we're teaching to apply more biologicals and more micronutrients and have them properly chelated so that the plant can take them in and utilize them.
So do you see, you know, some farmers, it seems, are with the influence and direction from some of these, you know, worldwide big mega agribusiness corporations are, you know, increasing the use of pesticides, herbicides, especially in combination with GMO plants. So where do you see us headed? Is that going to be the wave of the future, or is there some hope that organics are on the rise? Non-toxics.
The organics is on the rise, but you still have the group that are steadfast and all their investment is into chemicals, chemical fertilizer, and they're the ones that are fighting it, fighting change, and they're the ones that are coming out with hormones to make the cow give more milk and the GMOs so that they can spray the plant with glyphosate. Yep.
This has been incredibly educational. I want to thank you for being on, and we just touched the tip of the iceberg lettuce there, so we've got to have you back on again and talk some more about this. So I hope you'll come back to the program.
I'd like to learn more about what you guys do. We'll be watching, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ray.